Bottas?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Abe Fortas, 9-1.
Yes, sir.
I talked to Mansfield. He called me on another matter.
Yes, sir.
I told him I thought he ought to just say that the Republican National Committee and Williams and all of them had asked that this thing be studied, and the President asked the Department of Justice and the FBI to make a thorough study, and that's about as impartial as you could get, since it involved a former ambassador and a former State Department man, that it'd probably be better to have the FBI do it. Nobody thought the FBI was corrupt, and just let them study the whole, investigate the whole thing. Thought that he might be able to get along with that, and if he didn't, he'd let us know. And I told him if he didn't, to talk to you and Jim Rowe.
I completely agree. I think that's the right way to do it.
George, I'm afraid he's tired. He's worn out. I'm afraid he's going to ruin us if we don't get him some rest and get him away from here. And he feels sorry for himself. We just got to do something about him. But he didn't stay with what you told him this morning.
Oh, good Lord.
He said that the President realized this was campaign year, and it kind of looked like that we were arguing with Williams, which I think is a mistake, but we'll have to see how the papers play it.
Further
negotiations with George, tell him. And stay with the written statement you give him and say nothing else. And if he can't do that, let me issue it or somebody else.
Oh, good Lord, I gave him exactly what you
said. I called you and told you to dictate to him and tell him to stay right with him. But he got off and said that what was the President's reaction? He said, well, his reaction was that this is campaign here and you expect a lot of this.
Yeah.
And it looked like we'd needled by Williams.
Yeah.
I want to leave that image. I want to leave the image that anything wrongdoing, I want to catch him.
That's right.
And then he said he wasn't an expert on FBI investigation. They wanted to know if he'd interview the National Committee, and he said that he didn't know. And we'll look at that transcript when you come to lunch. You get them, Bill Moyer or some of them, to get you the transcript of George's press conference. But anyway, I think we've got it handled reasonably well at the moment.
Yes, sir.
I think it's important. Did you talk to Tommy?
Yes, sir. and I gave him a message. He said he'd get on it right away. Now, have you got a minute? I want to give you a full report.
What?
I talked with Humphrey. He said okay. He was sure he could get past today. And I will meet with him tonight. He's got some damn thing, but I'll arrange to meet him sometime tonight. I talked with Jim, finally got Jim, and Jim said he'd call Mansfield. Now here are the important things. I talked with the Philadelphia man, and fortunately he has now consulted Tom McBride, who is an old man, very fine man, wonderful, very able, very good friend of mine. And lawyer? Yes, sir. A great lawyer. Tom said that he ought to get out this statement and he oughtn't to take any nonsense on this thing. And they're working on it and will call me back. I told the statute of limitations is 5 years, not 3 years. McCloskey's lawyer was wrong. I told McCloskey that, and it shook him up pretty badly. And I also told it to McBride. McBride corroborated it. That puts a whole different aspect on McCloskey's attitude, and they're fussing over it right now. I had a meeting with Ed Williams, and Ed has talked 4 times now to the principal. And the principal continues to insist that he got not a dime and that not a dime was received from that fellow for campaign contributions. Now, Ed is worried about it. Ed puts the following question. He says that if the principal makes a statement, that he'll certainly be called because there are a lot of people on the Senate who think that if you make any kind of a statement that that waives immunity, which is not true as a matter of law, but it thinks that that will increase their, give them additional incentive to get the principal back on the stand. And I said that I didn't, that that wasn't persuasive to me because I thought they were going to have enough incentive anyway. Because the issue of somebody's lying will appear when the Philadelphia man makes his statement, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's hard to move people. So we decided that I agreed that we'd wait until we saw what the Philadelphia man said and then go back at it. What do you think? Do you think in the circumstances it would be a good idea to have the principal make the statement? I can get him, I can get Ed to get it done.
I think that I think a lot depends on the Philadelphia man, but if his lawyer failed, and he and Ed agreed, the lawyers and the both principals, if they agreed that this is a put-up job,
yeah,
and that this fella's in the throes of the Republicans and says he is,
yeah,
and I think that you can look at Walter's notes today and you'll see that he told Sampson that he was in the throes of him and he's afraid of him and he couldn't get away from him and he wished he hadn't got into it, but that they had the goods on him now and that he's kind of their captive. I think that's the general impression. I don't mean that you can quote that, but I think if you can see that that is his attitude, then their statement can be kind of built on that as a kind of a first step in breaking him down. That they could, I think they could say that this is a pure put-up job, that this fella has been working with Williams all along, and they've been playing politics with this thing, and it's campaign year, and it's cheap politics, and it's dirty politics, and it's smearing politics, and Goldwater ought to disown it,
mm-hmm,
and the Republicans ought to disown it as such, that here's a man that testified for many, many hours, and he never made any mention of this, number one. Here's a man that was interviewed by the FBI many times, and he never did this.
Mm-hmm.
And he waits until 2 months before the election, and he has it timed. Even after this fellow had it, he kept it for 2 weeks, Williams did, to make it appear very sensational on the Senate floor. And that the facts are that he bought the bond and he got the insurance and that he provided the insurance. This fellow agreed with him to provide it and he paid him for it and he received no contributions and he made no contributions and Baker's lawyers say that he made no contributions and both of them say that this man is lying and putting up a job and so on and so forth. Now, I think that that would be the best thing could come out of it and I think they both ought to put the attack right on him, what kind of a guy he is.
Yeah.
Now, my judgment, it's going to be they can't run it on all three networks all night and all morning,
yeah,
without it blowing up. Now, I just believe it will be, and I think it's a question of who's going to survive.
Yeah.
Whether McCloskey survives, I think if McCloskey takes position, he did make a political contribution. Well, he's had it,
yeah,
and I think the question is whether the party's had it or not, because he has been the national,
yeah,
finance chairman of the Democratic Party in the,
right,
United States. I think that's number one. I think number two, he is the Democratic Party in Pennsylvania, which is a very key state, and this gets back into the Ensel deal or Teapot Dome deal in the state of Pennsylvania, and nobody will be, Scranton will be getting into it, and they'll be destroying the Democratic Party there. Now, it's a question of who's going to destroy who. My judgment is that Bobby has got some bad marks on him, but so has McCloskey, but the two of them can probably show that this is not much of a, this fella doesn't have much character.
Yeah.
Right. And I think they can go back and make them subpoena the records and see what kind of a guy he is and say, now, what is his purpose in doing this? What is his motive? Is he just a good, clean citizen, or is he a fellow that's been abducting little 13-year-old girls?
Yeah.
And this is what they're tied up with. Now, I don't know what kind of an FBI report, but I would think that you ought to talk to Katzenbach and see what they say about this fellow Reynolds. And if they haven't given him a chance up to now, and if they have fumbled the ball and goofed it.
Yeah.
Well, now, I also called Nick, and I told him that I didn't want him to do anything beyond asking Williams for the documents and going to see Reynolds again, that I didn't want to, and I didn't say this explicitly, but what I don't want him to do, you see, is to go to Matt for a while. And he said that he'd hold it today and make sure that those were the only two things that were done today. So you think that statement on behalf of by each of them should be made, a statement by the principal should be made, provided that...
They agree.
And provided that Matt's going to hold firm all the way through.
If they agree, and I think it's up to their two lawyers to get together and agree on the thing, because I think you'll have Williams and this other guy. But my judgment is that McCloskey and Baker arguing with Reynolds is nobody knows who to believe.
Yeah.
But if McCloskey's agreeing with Reynolds, ain't much in left in the world for him.
Yeah.
And that's the way you see it.
Yes, sir. I guess that's what they're wrestling. He's wrestling about with Tom McBride.
Tom McBride, I gather, is a good lawyer.
Well, he's a wonderful man. He's got all the courage in the world. And he's my friend.
Was that the one he was counseling with last night?
No, sir. Thank God he changed. And he's got a man now. So that's good.
Well, it seems to me the key to the thing is that McBride and Williams ought to spend a good deal of time talking to each other, and you ought to direct them.
I got them both agreed. It's just a question of working out time and all. They both agree to meet. But they're good friends, too. So it's just a matter of, you know, getting all these things done and putting them together.
Now, what do you think McBride's going to recommend, that he issue this bill and say that he received a bill and paid it?
As number one, he told me this morning, subject to further conferences there, that he was recommending that that he thought that Matt ought to issue the bill and say he's issued the bill and what the hell this fellow's talking about, a pack of damn lies. But he said that they had a long way to go in there talking.
I think that you can have the Internal Revenue on Reynolds, and I think that you can establish that what he's trying to do is he didn't report this income, and he's trying to conceal it, and he's using Williams to avoid paying his income tax.
Yeah.
If they're looking into it, and they ought to be looking into it after this in the paper.
Right.
And I would imagine he got the check for $109. Now, he deposited that check. Then I would guess he would he wrote a check for 70 something for the bond, 60 something plus 10. Then I guess he made these withdrawals on these dates.
Yeah.
But we ought to find out, and he's probably get caught up with it now, and he's trying to unload it on somebody.
Yeah.
Sir, I think that's exactly it.
And he's got a tax case, and he's a questionable character anyway.
Mr. President,
yep.
You know, I was had an arrangement to go to lunch with Moyers and Clark and so on over at the Mayflower. But I set up a room and to discuss speech scheduling and so on. Is that the luncheon you were talking about?